نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، we got to the point of our discussion of the prayer and voluntary prayer, which is the last part that we were talking about. We got to the point where we were discussing what the Prophet ﷺ normally or usually read or recited in those voluntary prayers. Some people think that in voluntary prayers you do not need to recite anything except Al-Fatiha. So they just read Al-Fatiha and that's it, and they go down to Surah Al-Qur'an. But from what you heard, it is recommended to recite certain things. And for instance, in the Fajr, the morning prayer, we recite in the first rak'ah what? Qul huwa al-kafirun. In the second rak'ah, Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Exactly.
In the Fard prayer?
In the Sunnah prayer. No. And we also went over the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, in which he said that he very frequently or very often heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recite in the two rak'ah that he prayed after Maghrib and in the two rak'ah that he prayed before Fajr these two surah, Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun the first and Qul huwallahu ahad in the second. This is quoted by Tirmidhi, it's authentic. There was also a report from Ibn Abbas in which, this is recorded by Muslim and Nasa'i, in which he said that Rasulullah ﷺ used to recite in the two rak'at of Al-Fajr, that is the Sunnah, the two rak'at, rak'at, the voluntary rak'at of before the Fajr prayer. He used to recite in the first rak'ah, قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إليكم وإلهنا وإلهكم واحد ونحن له مسلمون. This is an ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah. So whether he recited only this ayah or continued a few more ayat after it or not, Allahu A'lam. But that's what he said, that in the first rak'ah he would recite قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إليكم وإلهنا وإلهكم واحد ونحن له مسلمون, which means tell the people of the book that we believe in what have been revealed to us and what have been revealed to you. Our God and your God is one and we submit to him. فإن آمنوا مثل ما آمنتم به فقد اهتدوا. Then they are ayat after it. If they believe like what you believe, then they are guided, and if they turn away, then they are in in confusion, and Allah will protect you from them. So that's in the first rak'ah. The second rak'ah, the ayah from Surah Al Imran, "Amanna billahi wa shahid bi anna muslimun," which is also regarding the people of the book or the Christians, in which Allah says, "Falamma ahassa Isa minhum al-kufra, qala man ansari ila Allah, qala al-hawariyuna nahnu ansarullah." آمنا بالله واشهد بأننا مسلمون. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Which means that when Isa felt that the people disbelieved in him in general, he said, "Who are my supporters, Ansari, in Allah, to Allah," which means before Allah, or in my work to Allah. The Hawariyun, the disciples said, "We are the supporters or the friends of Allah," or something like that. until amanna billah, we believe in Allah, and that's the part that is mentioned in the hadith, amanna billahi wa shahad bi anna muslimun, we believe in Allah and testify, be a witness that we are Muslims. That's what the scribes or the disciples said to Jesus. So this you could read if you know it. If you do not know it, then قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ and قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ are enough. Al-Witr now. I think we mentioned briefly about that yesterday or last time we discussed this, so inshallah we go over it again. Al-Witr حُكْمُهُ وَفَضْلُهُ. الوتر سنة مؤكدة حث عليها الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ورغب فيها. Witr is a confirmed sunnah that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم encouraged the people to perform it. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله وتر يحب الوتر, which means Allah, indeed Allah is witr, is odd, because he is one, which is an odd number. يحب الوتر and he loves وتر, the odd number. And عن علي قال إن الوتر ليس بحتم ولا كصلاتكم المكتوبة ولكن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أوتر ثم قال يا أهل القرآن أوتروا فإن الله وتر يحب الوتر. This, the previous one, is in Bukhari and Muslim, muttafaq alayh. This one is in different books of Sunan, Abu Majah, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Abu Dawood. And this is similar to the previous one, but it has some little more. It says, Ali radiallahu anhu said, Inna al-witra laysa bihatm. Indeed, witr is not obligatory. Walaka salatikum al-maktub. And it's not like your obligatory prayers, your prescribed prayers, which means you do not have, you are not required to perform it for sure, if you have some excuse or something, some reason not to. However, Rasulullah ﷺ performed witr. And he said, Ya Ahlul Quran, all people of the Quran, awtiru, perform witr, pray the witr prayer. Because Allah is witr, odd, and he loves the odd prayer, this witr prayer. Okay, so it is recommended to pray witr. And this is sunnah. If you remember, we said that the voluntary prayer is two kinds, mutlaqa or muqayyada, and which means open, you can pray without limit or without restrictions, and muqayyada, restricted. And al-muqayyada, the restricted, is two kinds, sunnah mu'akkada wa sunnah ghayr mu'akkada, which means, you remember, you were there last time, right? What is sunnah mu'akkada?
Mu'akkada is the confirmed.
Confirmed sunnah, and ghayr mu'akkada, non-confirmed. Ghayr mu'akkada, an example of it is the two rak'ah that you pray between the adhan and the iqama. بين كل أذانين صلاة. بين كل أذانين صلاة. بين كل أذانين صلاة لمن شاء. This is غير مؤكدة, non-confirmed. To every adhan, the iqama, there is a prayer. The مؤكدة, the confirmed, are the ones that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم recommended praying in and called people to pray before and after the prayers. And these are the two rak'at before the Fajr prayer. Two rak'at before Dhuhr, two rak'at after Dhuhr, two rak'at after Maghrib, and two after Isha, and one rak'at of Witr. That makes a total of 11. Can you repeat them?
Two before Fajr.
Mm-hmm.
Two before Dhuhr, two after Dhuhr, two after Isha, and one Witr.
These are the confirmed ones that one should try hard to maintain them every day. 11 rak'at. And the Prophet ﷺ, there is a hadith that I forgot to look for it. which says something to the effect that whoever prays 11 rak'at in one day and one night, Allah gives him a specific reward that I do not recall it now.
I seen people doing 2 rak'at before Maghrib.
No, we said that you can pray 2 rak'at between every adhan and iqamah. That's permissible. Any prayer. Fajr prayer, say you prayed at home 2 rak'at sunnah. Fajr. And we said that it's better to pray the sunnah prayer at home. And then you came here and the adhan had already been given, but the iqamah is not there yet. It's not time for iqamah yet. You can pray 2 rak'at with this intention, that this is 2 rak'at between adhan and iqamah, even though in the case this example is not good for fajr, because this would be the 2 rak'at for fajr. You can pray 2 rak'at tahiyyat al-masjid, the greeting of the masjid. But a better example would be asr prayer, or isha prayer. Let's say isha prayer, mm-hmm. or maghrib prayer that you just mentioned. So you pray 2 rak'at at home. No, you cannot pray at home. You come to the masjid, mm-hmm. and they give the adhan, you pray 2 rak'at. So that is with the intention that this is between the adhan and the iqamah. It's not a restricted prayer, or a confirmed prayer rather. It is restricted, but it is non-confirmed, which means it is not something that one should try to make it on a regular basis. Other rak'at that we also mentioned last time, and this is, I'm just reviewing of the timed prayers that are restricted to the prayers or to specific times, but they are not confirmed, which means you do not have to do them on a regular basis. In addition to what we mentioned of the 2 rak'at between adhan and iqamah, there are 2 rak'at before dhuhr as well, 2 additional rak'at before dhuhr, 2 more after dhuhr. So total 4 and 4. 4 rak'at before asr. What else? That's it, right? Okay. Now, al-witr, we go back to witr. The time of witr. يجوز الوتر من بعد صلاة العشاء إلى طلوع الفجر. You can pray witr from after Isha prayer until the dawn, until the fajr, the dawn. Of course, I have a detailed discussion of witr, and we'll be going over a brief summary here and about qiyam following this. I have a detailed discussion of this in my book on the night prayers. So if you want an in-depth discussion of the night prayer, you can go to that book. So here we are going over a brief summary. Witr is prayed up to from after Isha prayer until the time of the Fajr prayer. And it is best to pray it in the last one third of the night. وَهُوَ فِي الثُّلُثِ الْأَخِيرِ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ أَفْضَلُ عَنْ عَائِشَةَ قَالَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ اللَّيْلِ قَدْ أَوْتَرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مِنْ أَوَّلِ اللَّيْلِ وَأَوْسَطِهِ وَآخِرِهِ فَانْتَهَى وِتْرُهُ إِلَى السُّحُورِ إِلَى السَّحَرِ. Sorry. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. This is recorded by Bukhari Muslim and others, which means it is by Aisha, she said, in all parts of the night, or during all different parts of the night, the Prophet ﷺ performed witr. So he prayed it sometimes at the beginning of the night, sometimes in the middle of the night, sometimes at the end of the night. But he ended up praying it at the time of sahar, which means the time of dusk, just before fajr, when the light starts appearing, just at the end of the night.
Those are odd numbers.
Well, it means sometimes also, I refer you to the book because I have discussion of this. Sometimes when we say witr, we mean the one rak'ah of witr. Mm. And sometimes when we say witr, we mean all the night prayer, including the one rak'ah. But now when we were talking about it, we meant the one rak'ah. That this one rak'ah, you can pray as much as you want of the night prayer, and when you end it with one rak'ah, just before the time of Fajr comes, if you are awake at that time. If you are not, then you pray it earlier, if you normally are not. ويستحب تعجيل الوتر أول الليل لمن خشي أن لا يستيقظ آخره كما يستحب تأخيره إلى آخر الليل لمن ظن أنه يستيقظ آخره. Which means it is recommended to pray witr early in the night if one fears that he will not wake up at the end of the night. Also, it is, on the other hand, it's recommended to delay it to the end of the night if one expects to wake up at the end of the night. Abu Qatada reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Bakr, متى توتر؟ قال أوتر قبل أن أنام. فقال لعمر متى توتر؟ قال أنام ثم أوتر. He asked Abu Bakr, when do you perform your witr? He said, before I go to sleep. And he asked Umar, when do you perform your witr? He said, I go to sleep, then I get up and perform witr. فقال لأبي بكر أخذت بالحزم أو بالوثيقة؟ وقال لعمر أخذت بالقوة. He told Abu Bakr, you do that which shows hazm, that determination, not determination, but you do something sure, certitude. You have done something that is certain, which means when you pray before you go to sleep, you have prayed it. You are sure that you have prayed it. You have no fear that you will miss it or anything. And he told Umar, you have done the thing, you have selected for Abu Bakr, he selected certitude. For Umar, you have selected strength or the harder choice. So if somebody has determination and ability and he is sure that he'll wake up, then that is, Umar is the example for him. This hadith is recorded by Ibn Khuzaymah, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah. It's authentic. عائشة رضي الله عنها said, كان النبي يصلي وأنا راقدة معترضة على فراشه فإذا أراد أن يوتر أيقظني فأوترت. متفق عليه. This is in Bukhari and Muslim, that she said, عائشة said, Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to pray while I'm sleeping in front of him on his bed, on the mattress on which both of them slept. So she is sleeping and he is praying with her between him and the Qibla. And when he wanted to perform witr, he would wake her up and she would get up and pray witr. How many rak'at are the witr? The least of it is how many rak'at?
One.
One rak'at. And the maximum is depending on your madhab. according to the madhab that I accepted, and which is the opinion of Sheikh Albani rahimahullah, it is 11 rakat. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salatul layli mathna mathna. The night prayer is two rak'at and then two and two, two by two, a pair at a time. فَإِذَا خَشِيَ أَحَدُكُمُ الصُّبْحَ صَلَّى رَكْعَةً وَاحِدَةً تُوْتِرُ لَهُ مَا قَدْ صَلَّى. And then if one of you fears the morning, that is, which means that the morning will come, then he may pray, he should pray, or he would pray one rak'ah, that would make all that he prayed odds. Because he paid two and two and two and two, let's say eight plus one, that makes it nine. And it is permissible to pray witr with three rak'ats, five rak'ats, seven or nine. Aisha radiallahu anha said, ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يزيد في رمضان ولا في غيره على إحدى عشرة ركعة. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم did not pray, whether it is Ramadan or other times, more than 11 rak'at. كان يصلي أربعا فلا تسأل عن حسنهن وطولهن. He would pray four rak'at and do not ask me how long and good, nice they are. Which means they are really very, very long, four rak'at. And four rakat doesn't mean four connected. It means two and then followed by two. Total four.
The same as like the four rakat before asr. Two and two.
Yeah, yeah, four. Two, four means two and two. Four. Always four. It's sunnah prayer. It is prayed two and two. It's not prayed joint. Normally. So you pray four. فَلَا تَسْأَلْ عَنْ حُسْنِهِنَّ وَطُولِهِنَّ. Do not ask me how long and nice or beautiful they are. ثُمَّ يُصَلِّ أَرْبَعًا فَلَا تَسْأَلْ عَنْ حُسْنِهِنَّ وَطُولِهِنَّ. ثُمَّ يُصَلِّ ثَلَاثًا. Then you will pray four more, and do not ask me how nice and long they were. And but in some other reports we know that they were not as long as the first four. The first four were the longest, second four were shorter than them. ثُمَّ يُصَلِّ ثَلَاثًا. Then he would pray three. So the total is 4 and 4, 8 and 3, 15. Right? I'm testing your arithmetic.
It's the new math of the old math.
Binary or hex or whatever. Yeah. Thank you.
The tax collector is a math or?
This is muttafaq alayhi. And also she said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي من الليل 13 ركعة يوتر من ذلك بخمس لا يجلس في شيء إلا في آخرها. Which means رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم used to pray 13 ركعة, and of those 13 he would perform the witr with 5 ركعات without sitting in any of them except in the last one. This is in Sahih Muslim and others. And this and other forms of the night prayer I have mentioned also, went over in detail in the book on the night prayer. This, why is it 13 rak'ah when she said that he never prayed more than 11? The 13, most of the scholars have different opinion about this. They say, at the most, the strongest opinion it seems, and that's what I mentioned also there, is that there were two of them that are the Isha prayer, the Sunnah of Isha prayer, that he probably would not pray it immediately after Isha prayer, but when he gets at night he prays it quickly, or not quickly, but I mean it's shorter relative to the other rak'at, and then he starts the long night prayer. So it starts with 2 and then the 11. Or else, other scholars say that even if he prayed Isha, he would start with 2, sometimes with 2 short rak'at, which are like, you can say, warm up for the night prayer. An opening 2 rak'at before he starts the actual night prayer. So whether it's this or that, Allahu A'lam, these are 2 short rak'at, and then he prayed the night, very long night prayers. And in this form, she mentioned that he would pray 13, which means 2, 2, 2, 6, and 2, 8, and that leaves 5. These 5, he prayed them connected, without sitting at all in the middle, no tashahud or anything, until the very end. So he prays one rak'ah stance, second stance, third stance, fourth stance, fifth stance, and then sits after the fifth, and we say the tashahud and taslim. Okay, so that is possible and permissible, but that's not the most frequent way. The most frequent way is the one that she mentioned in the previous hadith, and the one that is mentioned by Ibn Umar in the hadith before that, in which he said that the Prophet ﷺ said the night prayer, and in another report it says actually the night and the day prayers are a pair by a pair. Pray them two by two at a time. So that's the best way to do it. But sometimes it is good to change, following by that the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. وعنها قالت, also Aisha said, كنا نعد له سواكه وطهوره. She said we used to prepare for the Prophet ﷺ his miswak and his water for wudu before going to sleep. فيبعثه الله ما شاء يبعثه من الليل فيتسوك ويتوضأ. So whenever Allah willed for him to get up at night, he would get up, perform siwak, brush his teeth, and then perform wudu. ويصلي 9 ركعات لا يجلس فيها إلا في الثامنة فيذكر الله ويحمده ويدعوه. And he would pray 9 rak'at without sitting in any of them except on the 8th. So again, eight prayers without any sitting in between. This is even longer. 8 rak'at connected, completely connected. He would not sit until the 8th. On the 8th he would sit, mention Allah, praise Him, and make dua, which is probably the regular tashahud. ثم ينهض ولا يسلم. Then he would stand up, get up without تسليم. ثم يقوم فيصلي التاسعة. Then he would pray the 9th rak'ah. ثم يجلس. ثم يقعد. يقعد. Then he would sit. فيذكر الله ويحمده ويدعو. And he would mention Allah, praise Him, and make dua to Him. Again the تشهد, the regular تشهد. ثم يسلم تسليما يسمعنا. Then he would make a taslim that you would hear it very loud, that is. ثم يصلي ركعتين بعدما يسلم وهو قاعد. Then after that he would pray 2 more rak'at while he's sitting. فتلك إحدى عشرة ركعتين يا بني. She said, thus that makes 11 rak'at, O my son. And she was saying this to somebody, I don't remember to who, but you'll find it in the book if you refer to it. One of maybe Masruq, maybe somebody, one of her students who came, of the Tabi'in, who came to ask her how the Prophet ﷺ prayed. So she told him, this is how he did, O my son. فَلَمَّا أَسَنَّ نَبِيُّ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he became old, صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَأَخَذَ اللَّحْمِ, and he became heavier in weight, أَوْتَرَ بِسَبْعَ, he made witr with 7 rak'at. وصنع في الركعتين مثل صنيعه الأول, and then he prayed 2 rak'at like he did before. فتلك تسع يا بني, that makes 9, O my son. This is in Muslim and Abu Dawud and Nasai. Now you know this leaves you wondering. Really, I always ask myself, and I don't know if there is a good answer to this. Maybe one, if you dig long enough to the books of the scholars, you may find something. Maybe. Imam al-Nawawi, because this hadith in Muslim, maybe he has something about it. You know what? When she said that the Prophet ﷺ asan wa hamal al-lahm, he became old and heavier. I mean, how could that be? When he died, he was not too old. You know, he was 63 years old, and for a man of his way of life and vigorous as he was, moving all the time, huh?
Yeah, very active.
Very active.
Not eating much.
You would not expect that he got heavy and carried much weight.
Yeah.
So that, unless she means that when he became sick, which was a very brief period of time, he continued to pray witr over a period of whatever it was, 1 week, 10 days. Maybe that's what she referred to. Allahu alam. But I mean, that's something that I wondered about, because you know, it's not like he died when he was 75 or 80.
Right.
He was still in the 60s, and we know that people in our time, people who are less active, much less active, people who work in offices and places like that, you find by when they are in the 60s, they are still, you know, able to do a lot like normal. So Allahu Alam. If one prays 3 rak'at as witr, which is the form, the first form and the most common form that Aisha described. Remember she said he prays 4, then 4, then 3. If he prays 3, then this is what you recite in them. عن ابن عباس قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ في الوتر بسبه اسم ربك الأعلى وقل يا أيها الكافرون وقل هو الله أحد في ركعة ركعة. This is in Tirmidhi and Nasa'i, which means that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to recite in the witr سبح اسم ربك الأعلى and قل يا أيها الكافرون and قل هو الله أحد, one of them in each ركعة. one of them in each rak'ah. So in the last three rak'ahs, this is what he would recite. Al-Qunutu fil witr. The Qunut in the witr prayer. عن الحسن بن علي رضي الله عنه أو عنهما قال علمني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كلمات أقولهن في الوتر. He said رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم taught me some words to say in witr. Now what are these words? That's what they take advantage of you. If they find that you are not harsh enough, they take advantage. Okay, so the words that he taught him are Allahumma hdini fi man hadayt, wa afini fi man afayt, wa tawallani fi man tawallayt, wa barikli fi ma a'tayt, wa sharra ma qadayt, fa innaka tara yuqda alayk, wa innahu la yadhillayt, wa la ya'izzu man tabarakta rabban wa ta'alayt. Which means, the meaning is in the book there. Allah give me with whom you have guided, give me well-being those whom you have given, take me with those whom you have, and bless for me what you have given me, and protect me from the evil of what you have decreed, because you decree and no one can decree over you, and indeed the one whom you take as a friend will never be humiliated, and one whom you take as enemy will never have dignity. May you be blessed and hallowed, our Lord. This is it. This is in Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasai. And it is as sunnah, the recommended, it is recommended for this qunut is to be made going to ruku'ah, before going to ruku'ah, not after, like what people commonly do. Ubay bin Ka'b radiyallahu anhu said anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qanata fil witri qabla ruku'ah wa la yushu'ar qunutu fil faridati. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. He said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed qunut witr before ruku'ah. That's what Ubay bin Ka'b said. This is in Abu Dawud. And for the fard prayer, it is not recommended to perform qunut except in nazilah, which means when there is a calamity that occurs for the Muslims. And in that case, it should not be restricted to any specific prayer. It should be on all prayers as much as possible. And in that case, it is made after ruku'ah. And in that case, you say such a specific or applicable to that problem that befell the Muslims. As Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا أراد أن يدعو على أحد أو يدعو لأحد قنت بعد الركوع. This is in Bukhari, which means when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to make dua against someone or for someone, he would make it at ruku'. As for performing qunut in the Fajr prayer on a regular basis, this is a bid'ah, as has been indicated by some of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Malik al-Ajjai and Umayyah al-Ajjai, whose name is Sa'd bin Tariq, said قلت لأبي يا أبتي إنك قد صليت خلف رسول الله وأبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي ها هنا بالكوفة نحو من 5 سنين فكانوا يقنتون في الفجر فقال أي بني محدث. Abu Malik al-Ajjai, Sa'd bin Tariq, said to his father, what's the name of his father? Sa'd bin Tariq. Tariq. Sa'd, the son of Tariq. So his father's name is Tariq. Tariq al-Ajjai. So his father, he said to his father, he said, "My father, you have prayed behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, and also you prayed behind Ali here in Al-Kufa for about 5 years. So you prayed behind all of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his four companions. Did they make Qudut in the Fajr prayer?" He said, "Oh my son, it is innovated. It is something new that people do. It has no basis, that is. It is a bidah." So even though we know that, you know, in our time, the people, Shafi'iyya, of the Shafi'i madhab, they make Qunut after Fajr, after Ruku' on the Fajr prayer, on a regular basis. So if you happen to pray behind a person and he makes Qunut in Fajr, then you will know that he is Shafi'i. Even though they do that, but it doesn't mean that it is not bid'ah. It is a bid'ah. We cannot go to them and say you are mubtada, because they are following what they think is correct from their madhab. But for us, we know that it is a bid'ah and we are not supposed to do it. Okay? And it was because it was not done by the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. And he made qunut on Fajr when he made qunut on other prayers, when he was cursing some people or making dua for some people. Ibn Qayyim said, وَمِنَ الْمِحَالِ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ سَلَّمْ كَانَ فِي كُلِّ غَدَاتٍ بَعْدَ اعْتِدَالِهِ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ يَقُولُ اللَّهُمَّ اهْدِنِي فِي مَنْ هَدَيْتِ وَتَوَلَّنِي فِي مَنْ تَوَلَّيْتِ إِلَى آخِرِهِ وَيَرْفَعُ بِذَلِكَ صَوْتَهُ وَيُؤَمِّنُ عَلَيْهِ أَصْحَابُهُ دائما إلى أن فارق الدنيا ثم لا يكون ذلك معلوما عند الأمة بل يضيعه أكثر أمته وجمهور أصحابه بل كلهم حتى يقول من يقول منهم إنه محدث كما قال سعد بن طارق الأشجعي. Which means it is impossible, this is in Zad al-Ma'ad by Ibn Qayyim, it's impossible that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used in every morning prayer after standing from Rukua, he would say Allahumma dini fi man hadait wa tawalla fi man tawallait, etc., this dua, raising his voice and his companions making ta'meen after him regularly until he left this life, and then that would not be well known to the ummah. Rather, that most of his ummah will not know it, and majority of his companions, all of them, until one of them would say this is a bid'ah, as was said by Sa'd, the son of Tariq al-Ashjai. So this thing, that it is impossible that this thing be, that it is a sunnah at all, like what the Shafi'is do. It is of course recommended, it is highly recommended to pray the night prayers. قيام الليل سنة مستحبة وهي من أهم خصائص المتقين, the most important qualities of those who have taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ آخِذِينَ مَا آتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ وَبِالْأَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. Which means indeed the muttaqeen, those who have taqwa, are on the day of judgment, that is, in gardens and rivers, or springs, water springs. They taking what Allah, their Lord, has given them, because before that they used to be good doers, doers of good. They used to pray very, to sleep very little at night, and at dusk times they would ask forgiveness, and from their wealth, monies, there was a specific or well-known amount to be given to the beggars or to the askers and those who are in need. So this is one of the descriptions and important of the believers who require that day would pray long prayers at night. Abu Malik al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't forget that when you mention the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your heart. Because he said, the stingy person, the person, the one who, when I mention before him, he does not say salah on me. He said, إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ غُرَفًا يُرَى ظَاهِرُهَا مِنْ بَاطِنِهَا مِنْ ظَاهِرِهَا أَعَدَّهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لِمَنْ أَطْعَمَ الطَّعَامُ وَأَلَانَ الْكَلَامُ وَأَدَامَ الصِّيَامُ وَسَلَّى بِالْمَسَنِيَامُ. Which means, there are in the Jannah rooms that you can see the inside from the outside and the outside from the inside, which means they have transparent walls, like windows, you know, that Allah, that like glass windows, that Allah prepared for those who feed the food, who speak nicely to others, who fast regularly, and who pray at night while people are sleeping. This hadith is Hassan. And there is another hadith, authentic one, that says, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ. All people, salam, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسَ نِيَامِ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامِ. All people, spread salam and feed the food to the needy, that is, to the poor. And pray at night while are sleeping, then they will enter Jannah peacefully. It is more confirmed, the recommendation of praying the night prayer is more confirmed in Ramadan. يتأكد استحبابه في رمضان. عن أبي هريرة قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يرغب في قيام رمضان من فيه بعزيمة فيقول مرن إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. صلى الله عليه وسلم Abu Hurairah is saying, used to pray, stand there during Ramadan, at night during Ramadan, without commanding them strongly to the people, without making it an obligation, but it was highly recommended. And he would say, he used to say, sir, stands in Ramadan in prayer, out of belief and ihtisab, expecting the reward from Allah, وَغُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, all his previous sins will be forgiven. This is in Bukhari Muslim. And how many rak'at is the witr prayer? We mentioned this, right? Why is he?
Huh?
Yeah? Same. Same as witr. The night prayer is witr itself in this case. So the minimum is 1, and the maximum is 11. Exactly, because of the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. So there is this, here we apply an important rule, even though we know that some scholars, some good scholars actually of our time, and the late Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah, they say that you can pray as many as you want. Witr can be 50 if you want, 100, doesn't matter, the night prayer. But the correct opinion of Shaykh Albani rahimahullah, which is, he bases it and other things on an important rule that many people miss. Alaykum salam. That rule is that if there is a text, if there is a general statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions radiallahu anhum shows that they did not apply it according to the general text, but they limited it to a smaller or restricted area of that general meaning, then we have to follow what they did. We cannot leave it to its generality. Otherwise, we will be opening the door very wide for innovations in the deen. And he brings lots of examples of how the innovation started by using general texts and taking them without limits. To we are talking about the general, using a general text without applying the restriction of the from the practices of the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba. And this is an example, the example of the witr prayer or the night prayer. The general rule says Salatul Layli Mathna Mathna. The night prayer is two pair by pair or two by two. So they take this general text and they say, if it says two by two, that means you can pray as many twos as you want. This is true if there was no restriction for this from the Sunnah. But we know that there is a restriction, because you heard the hadith of Aisha that the Prophet ﷺ never prayed more than 11 rak'at in Ramadan or in other times of the year. And the same for Umar radiallahu anhu. And this is where the people get most confused, because some people think that the reports that Umar made the people pray 20 rak'at are correct, when they are not. And this I, the Sheikh Albani approved, and I translated it in detail in the Night Prayers book, that there's all the reports that say that they were more than 11 rak'at are not authentic. And therefore the limit for witr prayer is 11 rak'at, because that's what the Prophet ﷺ prayed and Umar radiallahu anhu made the people pray in his time. So this is one example. Another example is where to put your hands after ruku'. The hadith says that when the Prophet ﷺ stood in the prayer, he would put his right hand over his left hand. Okay, so this is a general text. If you apply it, it means before ruku or after ruku, you have to put your hands on your chest. But we know from the practices of the Sahaba and the Salaf that they did not put their hands after ruku on their chest. So it becomes a bid'ah to take the general hadith and apply it to a place where they did not apply it. So if they knew that it applies in that case, they would have applied it. Similarly, the general hadith about the beard. The beard, the Prophet ﷺ says, leave alone your beards, which means do not cut them. This is a general text. But we know from the practice of the Sahaba that they cut anything that was over a fist in length. So this is a general text restricted by their action. And therefore to leave it over the length of the fist is a bid'ah. But as I said, we know that some scholars are lax in regard to this, and they permit, or they actually say that no, it is recommended to leave it over the fist length, and you put your hands over your chest after ruku, and you what is the other thing? The other thing that we are discussing, that you can pray night prayer as many rak'at as you want. So all of these, even though we believe that it is wrong and it's a bid'ah, but because they made their ijtihad, their fatwa, based on some knowledge that they have and some understanding, we do not go to everyone who is following them and say, hey, you are committing a bid'ah, you are fasiq, etc., etc. No. I mean, they, once, you know, when they listen to the argument of both sides, everyone is free to choose whichever opinion he thinks is more correct and acceptable. Allahu ta'ala alam. In the Qiyam of Ramadan, it is recommended to pray in Jama'ah, as we know. I mean, this is something that would be more appropriate for Ramadan, but since we are covering this in sequence, we had to go through it. Aisha radiallahu anha said that Rasulullah once prayed in the masjid, and the people followed his lead. That was in Ramadan, and they prayed behind him the night prayer. Then on the following day, they were more in numbers. On the third night or the fourth night, they were even more on the third night. On the fourth night, he did not come out. And then in the morning, they said, I have seen what you have done, and nothing prevented me from coming out to you but the fear that it would become an obligation on you. لقد رأيت قد رأيت الذي صنعتم ولم يمنعني من الخروج إليكم إلا أني خشيت أن تفرض عليكم. That was in Ramadan. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. And in some reports it says that they waited and waited when he was late coming out. They threw small pebbles at his door. They thought maybe he fell asleep and they were, you know, alerting him, waking him or something. But he still did not come out, and he said, in some reports, أَمَا إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَخْفَ عَلَيَّ مَكَانُكُمْ. Indeed, I was not unaware of your presence, that you were waiting for me, but I did not come out because I was afraid that it will become an obligation. If you show too much curiosity, and all the Muslims want to pray the night prayer in Jama'ah, then I'm afraid that Allah would make it an obligation, and it is too hard for the whole Ummah to be required and obliged to pray Jama'ah, the night prayer in Ramadan. And on the time of Umar, he made the people, after that it was not prayed in Jama'ah, for the reason that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. And during the time of Abu Bakr, nothing happened, but during the time of Umar, he revived the Sunnah, because there was no more fear that it would become an obligation since the revelation has stopped. So he revived the Sunnah and he made Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anh lead the people in the night prayer in Ramadan. And when he sees that, he said, ni'mati al-bid'atu hadhi, this is indeed a very good new thing that has happened. And it was not to be heard, because the Prophet ﷺ did it before, and Umar only revived the Sunnah, that the fear from reviving it has gone. There is no more fear of reviving it. It is recommended in other than Ramadan to pray the night prayer with his for the person with his family. In Ramadan, it is recommended to pray in Jama'ah, with the Jama'ah. But in other than Ramadan, it is recommended to pray with his family. As Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إذا أيقظ الرجل أهله من الليل فصليا أو صلى ركعتين جميعا كتب من الذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات. This is recorded by Abu Dawud al-Madi, which means if a man wakes up his family, wakes up his wife at night, and they together pray two rak'at, just two rak'at, even if they only pray two rak'at together, they will be recorded among those who Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ahzab, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. Those who mention Allah, both males and females. وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, the males, وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ, females. So they will be recorded with those people. And what if a person plans to get up at night to pray the night prayer, but he, for some reason, misses it for one night? Not, you know, out of 365 days a year, he misses it 364, and he gets up one night. No, if he misses it, his regular practice is to get up at night, but one night he missed, or one or more nights. Then it is recommended to make it up. It is recommended to make it up. Aisha radiallahu anha said, قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا فاتته الصلاة من الليل من وجع أو غيره صلى من النهار ثنتي عشرة ركعة. شد when Rasulullah sallallahu, when he missed the night prayer because of some pain or sad, he would pray during the day 12 rak'at. So he would pray at the time of duha, that is, he would pray 12 rak'at instead of the 11 rak'at that he missed at night. Okay, so it's recommended to make up whatever your habit was. If your regular practice is to pray, let's say, 6 rak'at when you get up at night, then you miss one night, don't miss it totally, but make them up during the duha time. Pray 6 rak'at during duha, and so on. And Umar radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من نام عن حزبه من الليل أو عن شيء منه فقرأه ما بين صلاة الفجر وصلاة الظهر كتب له كأنما قرأه من الليل. This and the previous one are in Sahih Muslim. This means that whoever sleeps off his regular portion of prayer, that is, and Quran, during the night of it, then if he prays it between the time of Fajr and the time of Dhuhr, which means during the time of Duha, then it will be written for him as if he read it during the night. And it is disliked, it is disapproved for a person who has the regular practice of praying at night to stop doing that. كراهة قيام الليل لمن اعتاد. عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص قال قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا عبد الله لا تكن مثل فلان كان يقوم الليل فترك قيام الليل. He said, O Abdullah, do not be like so and so. Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As, he was one of the young men. When the Prophet ﷺ died, he was probably not even 20 years old. So Rasulullah ﷺ told him, O Abdullah, do not be like so and so at night. And then he stopped. He stopped praying at night. So it is not a good thing to start a good practice and then to stop it. One tries always to go up and improve, and not to go down and get worse. Okay, so this is the end of the discussion of the Salatul Layl. The next thing in our discussion of the voluntary prayers is Salatul Duha. Salatul Duha. We'll start it quickly, or maybe we'll have even time to finish it. Allahu Alam. Mashru'iyyatuha. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه سد أوصاني خليلي صلى الله عليه وسلم بثلاث بصيام ثلاثة أيام من في كل شهر وركعتي الضحى وأن أوتر قبل أن أنام. He said, my beloved one, which means the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, advised me to do three things. Fast three days of every month. And pray two rak'at of duha, and to pray witr before going to sleep. And we discussed this earlier, that for those who do not expect to get up during the night, it is recommended for them to pray it before going to sleep. Otherwise, it is better to delay it until one gets up at night, because it has to be the last thing that he prays during the night. There is a great reward for praying the duha prayer. As Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُصْبِحُ عَلَى كُلِّ سُلَامَ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَ فَكُلُّ تَسْبِيحَةٍ صَدَقَ وَكُلُّ تَحْمِيدَةٍ صَدَقَ وَكُلُّ تَهْلِيلَةٍ صَدَقَ وَكُلُّ تَكْبِيرَةٍ صَدَقَ وَأَمْرٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ صَدَقَ وَنَهْيٌ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ صَدَقَ وَيُجْزِئُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ رَكْعَتَانِ يَرْكَعُهُمَا مِنَ الضُّحَى. Which means every morning, every joint of your body requires a sadaqah, that you pay off a charity for it. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. So by saying subhanallah, this is a charity. By saying alhamdulillah, each one of them is a sadaqah. By saying la ilaha illallah, this is a sadaqah. By saying Allahu Akbar, it's a sadaqah. Commanding good is a sadaqah, forbidding evil is a sadaqah, and this will all be covered, all these required sadaqat. And in some reports it says there are 360 joints in the body. So by praying two rak'at during the time of duha, that covers all of that. So if you pray two rak'at of duha, you do not have to make tasbih, you do not have to make a tahmid, you do not have to make tahleel. You do not have, if you see something wrong, don't correct it. If you have something right, do not tell people to do it. And so on. All it takes is two rak'at, right? Well, I'm just joking. I mean, don't take seriously. I'm saying, what I mean is that will cover all the sadaqat required. And then after that, you can accumulate.